Good morning, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio broadcast station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, April 3rd, 2008. It's now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good morning, everyone. It's nice and bright and early this morning. I do hope we have five lines open. Our telephone number, our call-in number is 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I encourage you folks to send me your comments regarding this program or any of the program in our archives, and send them to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. And that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. We're going to touch on some economic issues today, which we normally don't, but it does affect your rights, it does affect your liberty, your freedom, and how to protect your own property. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Please do so. I will not send you any junk mail. It's all kept confidentially, and we just will send you a reminder when our next program is and what the subject might be. Okay, well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to start off with a corollary to what we're going to talk about, is that this nation appears to be in crisis. When we say that, we say that very generically. We are in crisis, but no one wants to get very specific, especially those people who are running for office. Let me give you an example. I watched Jim Cramer yesterday. I usually do not watch him, but sometimes he has something interesting, and or he was going to interview Hillary Clinton, and I said, "This I've got to see." Well, it was interesting in that he gave her a pass. Now that's very unlike Jim Cramer. She answered questions I would not have tolerated any of her answers. She said things like, well, we need to have a balance between the free market system and proper regulatory agencies. Now, what the heck does that mean, a balance? There's no scale. And he never asked her to define it. And her answers were all along those lines. I left with the impression that Jim Cramer was absolutely intimidated by her. He never came back and said, now how do you suspect we are going to do this? She gave all the proper buzzwords, the trick words, the politically correct words in order to get elected, as if she knew what was going on. I have often said that, God forbid, if I ever need brain surgery, I want the brain surgeon to be able to explain the surgery to me in Dick and Jane language. Not surgery 101, that's too difficult, Dick and Jane. Because if he can break it down to Dick and Jane language, then I would trust him or her. And the problem with our politicians today, they're like these experts that give you answers that you cannot understand but sound very impressive, very authoritative, and yet you never really get the answers. Well, here at Liberty Talk Radio, you get real simple answers. A friend of mine that I had a discussion with regarding immigration and regarding federal oversight one time. It was a long conversation. This guy really likes to talk. We can get on the phone, and I'm on the phone for a half hour if he just wants to ask me what the weather is, you know. Hold on one second, please. I want to get some coffee in my system. Thank you. And he went on about all these issues. I said, well, it's very simple. I said, get rid of the regulation, and you'll have all the regulation you need because people be personally responsible. He says, well, that's oversimplifying it. And that's not oversimplifying it. That is making it very, very complex because now the regulation is within the grasp of every individual in that transaction. And we're going to talk about that. One thing when we talk about crisis, as I said in the very beginning of this broadcast, this country is in crisis because we have lost the very essence of our democracy. We lost the essence of our Constitution. And when I say that, I mean we've lost it to a sense where we no longer have a direction. We have become very European, very socialist, very, and in many cases, very fascist. Fascist in our military empire. We've become socialist in our domestic programs. And none of this, I don't think you will see the words building a fascist military empire is one of the goals of the United States. If someone would please call me and tell me that's in our Constitution, I'd like to read that for myself. And neither does it say anywhere regarding does it talk about monetary policy, except that the United States has the right to coin money. And money those days referred to silver and gold coin only. That's it. End of story. And yet people say, well, that's too oversimplified for today. Today's a complex world. No, we've made it very complex so that we no longer understand it, and then we try to regulate it. And we're a moral crisis. I talk moral crisis. Now I sound like the people on TV. But where our real national crisis starts is in our school system. Do you realize that they took a survey, independent survey, of the 50 major cities, the schools, to figure out what the graduation rate was? And I'll just name some of the cities. Oh, they're all popular cities. I have the whole report here. It the best one, by the way, was Mesa, Arizona, San Jose, Nashville, Colorado Springs, San Francisco, Tucson, Seattle, Virginia Beach, Sacramento, Honolulu, Louisville, Long Beach, California, blah, blah, blah. You know, of course, New York and all that stuff. And it came out to 51.8%. Now, the alarming part is that in some areas, the urban graduation rate was as low as 24%. Now, folks, our government wants to regulate homeschooling. Now, this all ties in so beautifully. The government wants to regulate homeschooling to ensure that our children are getting the proper education. And yet, in the government schools, only about half the students graduate. Now, if we took a survey and found that half of the homeschooled children couldn't pass a basic exam, let's say just a general basic knowledge exam, we would say homeschooling wasn't very effective or efficient. But yet, you'll find, I'll bet, now I haven't seen this, but from what I have read, you'll find that a vast majority outstrip our public school system and do infinitely better on all types of tests. And yet now the government wants to regulate homeschooling. Where is it in our Constitution that says that the government takes over the education from the parents of our children? Think about it. the responsibility for education of our children lies with the parents. It has absolutely nothing to do with the government. And of course, the retort to that is, whoever we is, have to ensure that our children are learning for a strong America. Well, look in your own backyard, sluggo. At 51.8%, you're not doing very well. Now, of the 51.8% that graduate, how many read, now this is the 12th grade now, read at the 5th grade level? I don't know the figures, but I've heard the figures once before that half can't read, cannot even read at the 5th grade level. So you have one half of the kids graduating, and one half of those kids who graduate really do not graduate at the 12th grade level. They're graduating at the 4th or 5th grade level. How many students get graduate just because it's their time to get out of school? They can't afford to keep the kids in there anymore. A very large portion. Do not know the percent, folks. I'm not going to throw statistics out and guess at it. But I worked in the school system. I volunteered in the school system one time, and I found it appalling what the kids were learning and not learning. And then added to that, what we can add to that scenario is, what really are these kids learning, those that do learn? We already know that our history books are bogus that we give them. Kids are not taught to think critically. They're not taught to think creatively. What they are, they're taught to memorize. Those things that we want them to know, those supposed facts, which are not really facts, those false facts that we want them to believe. Now, that, folks, is a crisis. Now, how does that relate to what I'm going to talk about now? Well, the whole crisis in our country emanates from the ignorance of the people. And I'm saying we're stupid people. Don't get me wrong. We're not. In fact, on average, we're probably pretty damn bright. But we're not made to think. We're not forced to think. We're not forced to think critically. We are getting like that movie Idiocracy, where people just repeat advertising slogans, and that's the only thing that they know. And they think they know everything. This is a movie where a person gets transported to the year, I think, 2550, and he's an average Joe Blow today, and in that world, he's the most brilliant person on earth. Amazing. It's a dark comedy, but it makes a good point. Now, so our federal government wants to regulate homeschooling to ensure our kids are learning, and yet they are guaranteeing that our children are not learning the right things, and most of them aren't learning anything at all. Think about that. I wrote here on my blog that it's about time the Fed realized that it has to take more control over the market. Now, what the hell is the market? When they say they have to take control of the market, let me give you an example. I have an old car. I want to sell it. Let's assume the car is just an average shape for an old car that's several years old. It's got wear and tear on it, normal wear and tear. And I put an ad in the paper and say, I have this old Toyota that I'd like to sell, you know, this 1998 Toyota I want to sell, $50,000. Who's going to buy it? How many takers will I have? I may get some calls saying, geez, I'd like to see this $50,000 Toyota. I mean, I'm curious, is this a special built, you know, I'll get a call or two. But for the most part, no one would come and look at it. People would laugh. They would think it's a joke. That's the market, folks. no one would buy my car. So then I put another ad in. I say, well, $25,000. Well, I play this game until now I'm down to $2,500. I may get a call. And then when the person comes to look at it, they say, you know, you've had this car for 10 years. You know everything. Now, they don't say this out loud, but you know everything that's wrong with it. I don't. I'm taking a tremendous risk. It looks good. I drove it around the block, drove it on the highway for a while with you, and it rode well, but I don't know tomorrow morning whether it's going to start up. You know that. You're not going to tell me. I know you're not going to tell me everything. You know, nobody ever does tells them everything about a car. You know, so I'm taking a risk, and I'm going to build in a fudge factor. I'm saying, well, I'll bet I'm going to have to put in about $800. That's my guess. You know, to bring up the snuff. Maybe the battery's old, or, you know, maybe the starter will go, and maybe the water pump is about ready to go. I mean, it may be working now, but, you know, it looks like that. You know, so he may offer me $1,800 for the car, or $1,750 or something like that, and we'll compromise and whatever. And if I think it's fair, I'll sell him the car. And he walks away. Let's say we compromise on the thing, and he buys it for $2,000. I receive the $2,000 in cash, or check, hopefully it doesn't bounce, and he gets the car and the title to the car. Folks, that is the market, plain and simple. Now, I tend to oversimplify things only because that's the way things actually work. Things really don't work in these complicated fashions with all these special investment vehicles, these CDOs, CMOs, and everything else that's out there that no one understands. Now, why do we have all those vehicles? Well, let's go back to a person who's going to buy it. Let's assume for a second there is a package of securities. They could be mortgages. They could be other things. And you go to somebody. They go to another bank, and they go, hey, we package these things, man, and we want you to buy them. We're going to give you a special deal on them. Now, if there was no regulation, if there was absolutely no regulation on those, what was the first question you would ask before you would give the person several billions of dollars for it? I mean, would you ask, what do they, can I have a list of what they include? Can I have a computer listing of each one of the securities? And we'll have our audit department go through and verify. Not every one, but they'll do a random sample, you know, that gives a confidence level, let's say, of 90%, that these securities are valid. Let me make sure that we understand what these things are, and the people who are backing them have the financial support to back them. And after I do that, I'll get back to you and let you know what I am willing to pay for it. That's the free market. What is missing today, Mr. Paulson, and what is missing today, Bernanke and Hillary and the rest of you, is the fact that they all know that all of these things are so big that there is the principle of essentiality plays a hand. And this principle of essentiality in government says it is essential that this not collapse, that this financial institution, that this financial dealing go through. Because if it does not, it would do irreparable harm to the financial system. Thus, since it is essential to our financial system, the life of our financial system, the government needs to guarantee it. Everyone knows that if something goes down, there'll be someone behind it to guarantee it. Now, there is new broad powers, and let me read to you what is in the New York Times. It says the Treasury, this is in Washington, this is just the other day, the Treasury Department will propose on Monday that Congress give the Federal Reserve Board new authority to oversee market stability. Folks, the Federal Reserve Board is an independent cabal. It is not part of the federal government. This is where I go back to our school system. We are ignorant of what is going on. We are ignorant of our government. It's owned by the Rothschilds in Europe. That's who owns the Federal Reserve. It's owned by, hold on to your hats, J.P. Morgan, who's buying out Bear Stearns. This is who owns the Federal Reserve. together with the Warburgs and the DuPonts and the Rockefellers and all the big money people behind world markets. You know, the shadow government, as they call it. These are the people who are running things. They have allegiance to no one other than the profit motive. They have allegiance to no country because they're international. They don't care. And one reason why Russia is doing so well is Russia refused to play in that game. And now we're vilifying Putin. I think he deserves all the credit in the world. But we're too ignorant to think that way. And it goes on to say, with broad new authorities to oversee market stability. Market stability? What the hell does that mean? You have an instrument that's not worth anything, and you want to sell it. The person, if there was no regulation, the person looking at it saying, wait a minute, you want to buy, what is it worth?
Well, don't worry, man. Don't worry about it. Here, take it anyway. You can make some money. Just turn it over again.
Well, they may take the gamble and do that, but if they can't turn it over, they may lose the billions of dollars. They're not going to go for that because there's no one backing them up. They have to guarantee it. Just, it's the same situation as me selling my used car. There's no different, folks. Absolutely no difference. And I'm not oversimplifying it. There is no difference. It goes on to say, in effect, allowing it to send SWAT teams into any quarter of the industry or any institution that may pose a risk to the overall system. Well, let's assume that there is a risk to the overall system. What will happen? Well, then the principle of essentiality takes over. And guess what? They bail them out. Or they provide the funds or the guarantees to make sure the transaction takes place. Folks, we are in very dangerous waters. We are now manipulating the market. We are not telling the marketplace, that there's no longer buyers and sellers, supply and demand. There is someone in the background who is going to guarantee certain amounts of money here and there. It cannot work. It's impossible. The Fed has the impossible job of printing money, which has to inflate the money supply because they charge for it, which means they need to print more money to pay for its own money, and at the same time guarantee market stability, which is impossible for them to do. They have an impossible job, and now we're going to give the Federal Reserve the authority to control our marketplace, our private institutions, only because we're afraid if these private institutions go under, it may harm the whole financial structure. And the reason why it can harm the entire financial structure, because the financial structure is based on a false premise. It has absolutely no foundation whatsoever. And the day that people realize that is the day the system collapses, is the day that people start giving up the money that they thought was worth something because they thought the Federal Reserve was a government. It was backed by something or other, by the good faith and credit of the government, which has no good faith and credit, you know, and or by gold or silver or something. Everyone has their own idea of it. And it has nothing. And you'll read about the M1 and M2 money supply has shrunk. And they can't figure out why there's inflation. Well, that's because they never talk about the M3 money supply, which is all the commercial money that's out there that's been exploding at a rate of 17% per year. That's what's causing the inflation. So we are dropping the M1, M2 money supply by 7 to 10%. But yet we're increasing the M3 money supply by 17%. Hey, boy, you just do the math. We're up between 7 and 10% a year, and there's your real inflation rate. It's not really 3 or 4%. It's 3 and 4% if you buy a lot of electronics and TVs every year. If you look at the whole basket of what we have, it may be 7%, 3, 4%, but really it's closer to 10%. Go to the store, you'll know that. You know it's 10%. Buy your gasoline, you know it's 10%. See, it's not possible for Paulson or Bernanke or Hillary or Barack or McCain or anyone to control the market, because the market by its very being is
are transactions among millions of people. And there's no way to guess that. Heck, if you can control the market, if I can control the market for one day, I would be a trillionaire. Because if I knew for a fact tomorrow, this would definitely happen. I would do something that would make me money that day. I would borrow I would borrow millions and millions of dollars, bet it tomorrow I would make exponentially more, pay off the millions, and I'd be a multi-millionaire or billionaire. I mean, in one day, because I knew what the market was going to do. The fact is, no one knows what the market's going to do. Last week, we saw gold. The last couple of weeks, we saw gold and silver and all metals take a nosedive. I predict, and you can write this down and call me on this one. Please call me on this one. I would say within the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to see a big reversal of that. Now, I say a couple, two or three weeks, because I really don't know. But people are going to realize there's something really wrong here. And when they do, they're going to flight to safety. And that safety is no longer the U.S. dollar, especially on the international scene. Folks, what we have to think about is that there are a hodgepodge of regulatory agencies that were established prior to the Civil War that were to regulate certain activities, Civil War activities. These agencies never went away. They still exist. They have no purpose but to exist, and they're part of the federal government. There are hundreds and hundreds of agencies, alphabet soup agencies, regulating every single aspect of our lives, especially our financial lives. And yet, we're in a financial crisis. Does that mean that if we only had more regulatory agencies, that we would be able to regulate it better? Think about that. With all the regulatory agencies, excuse me, please. Ooh, I sneeze. With all the regulatory agencies out there, you would think it would be virtually impossible for us to be in the situation we're in now. But even with all those agencies, we're now in a trillion-dollar meltdown. Scares me. Okay, this is the end of this broadcast this morning. On Sunday, we hope to have Robert Bryce, author of Gushing Lies, a new book about all of the false information regarding alternative energies to oil. I met him last week, fascinating individual. I have to confirm that, check my blog, and it'll be Sunday night at 8 o'clock, okay, Central Time. Okay. This is the end of this morning's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.